Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. How exactly does Amazon plus Whole Foods equal Walmart? Yet that's how many industry analysts are interpreting the news that Amazon is buying the high-end, mainly organic grocery chain. To find out more about what Amazon expects to gain from this sale, what it might mean for consumers, for workers, these two sellers that many of you probably use but also love to hate, I am joined by two Bloomberg reporters, Craig Giamana, food reporter for Bloomberg Business, and Spencer Soper, who covers e-commerce. Craig and Spencer, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks a lot. Great to be here.
So just from the business point of view to start out, Spencer, has Amazon publicly explained what it expects Whole Foods to enable it to do?
No, not really. We just know that they've been in the grocery business for a long time, for about 10 years now, without making a huge amount of progress. And so the big takeaway is just that they're going into physical stores with grocery, which took them a long time to realize that they have to do that. If they want to be serious about grocery, they need physical stores where people can come in and see them and touch them and inspect them before buying. And it just took them about 10 years to realize that that was a necessity.
Craig, why is Walmart seen as the target of this acquisition in competitive terms?
So, I mean, Walmart and Amazon are head-to-head competitors. And, you know, Walmart now makes more than 50% of its revenue from the grocery business. They're really the largest grocer in the U.S. Obviously, it's more of a value discount play. And this instantly makes, if this deal were to happen, there's still some questions about that, this makes Amazon a very, very serious grocery player, and they can use their scale to get to really attack one of Whole Foods' biggest problems, which is the reputation for being overpriced. So if they can sort of fix what's wrong with Whole Foods, then they instantly become a big-time grocery player.
Right, and that's probably news to at least some of our listeners, because there are no Walmart stores in New York City, that such a large percentage of Walmart's revenue now comes from selling groceries like a supermarket.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's been sort of a steady climb. I mean, they've been in the food business for a long time, and they've really focused on it. They've gotten their produce better. They're selling, you know, slightly better meat. So there is that person out there in middle America that still goes to Kroger because they think that the fresh food is better. But Walmart has really gone after that and is focused on the grocery business. For them, it's a way to get people into the stores with great prices, and they pick up other higher margin items. But yeah, that's right. I mean, Walmart at this point is the biggest grocer in the U.S.
And Walmart, despite its sort of downscale reputation, does also sell a lot of organic, right?
They do. I mean, a big problem for Whole Foods, the reason why they have struggled the last couple of years, is there was a time when you could only get that stuff at Whole Foods. If you wanted organic stuff or vegan stuff, that was the only game in town. And for years, the stock price reflected that. You know, Kroger and Walmart and these big grocery companies, they saw that happen and they said, hey, we can sell organic stuff too. So Walmart has pushed into that business. And look, the average person, they want organic produce, but they also want Doritos. They want Diet Coke. You can't get those things at Whole Foods. So Walmart has done a good job, and that's been a big problem for Whole Foods.
And Spencer, Whole Foods is sometimes called Whole Paycheck because of its reputation for high prices. Amazon competes so overwhelmingly on price in books and other things. Whole Foods didn't compete on price with other grocery stores. They were competing on other kinds of value that people felt by going there. So how does that make a good fit with Amazon, which does compete on price so much?
Well, you're absolutely right there, and that's also something that Whole Foods has realized and has been addressing. So if the question is, what does this mean, you know, Amazon-Whole Foods marriage, Amazon is going to accelerate a course that Whole Foods is already taking, trying to lower prices, trying to shed that perception, which Amazon can help with. Amazon has its own private label products, so you can expect them to introduce those and look for, as Craig mentioned earlier, the scale of its operation to try to get competitive on price with those. And Amazon is also very adept with data, so it's going to really look at, be very careful about what kind of products are in the store, the price points they're at, the sales velocity that they're getting with those products, to really make sure that they're offering the best value on the shelf space in that store.
And listeners, our phones are open. Do you have a question about what the purchase of Whole Foods by Amazon will mean for your way of putting food on the table, either the way you shop or because your job might be affected from a consumer standpoint or a worker standpoint or a business standpoint, anything you want to ask about here or put on the table yourself about this idea of Amazon acquiring Whole Foods, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 for Spencer Soper and Craig Giamana from Bloomberg Business and Bloomberg e-commerce, 212-433-9692. Spencer, let me stay with you for the next question. The New York Times tech columnist suggests that Jeff Bezos and Amazon don't really have set plans for Whole Foods. They just want a way to experiment with food retailing. Does that make sense based on what you know about the company?
Yeah, that makes sense. And they won't make abrupt changes. They never have. You know, they'll buy something and operate for a while and learn and gradually integrate. That's been what they've done with other companies that they've purchased as well. So if you're a Whole Foods shopper and you're wondering what happens, you know, the day after an Amazon acquisition closes, probably nothing. You know, just a different place that your money's going to at the tail end. But yes, they're experimenting in Seattle now with different grocery formats. They opened a convenience store concept called Amazon Go, and that's this kind of cashierless checkout, which is right now in an employee-only test mode. You go in, check in with your smartphone, get the prepackaged sandwiches or salads that you want, and walk out, and you're billed automatically. There's no cashier for you. So that's one thing that they're experimenting with now. And the other things are these drive-in grocery pickup kiosks. They opened two of those in Seattle where you order your grocery online and pick a window where you'll come in and have them delivered to your trunk. And this is another, you know, they can be ready within 15 minutes. And that's another play where Amazon is trying to match services offered by supermarket competitors like Walmart and Kroger that are way out ahead in that option.
And so on the self-checkout, Craig, there are conflicting reports about whether all the people at Whole Foods will be replaced by robots or drones. Is Amazon saying anything about that?
They're denying that. I mean, they're denying that they're planning worker cuts. I mean, I think it's definitely wait and see on that. I mean, labor costs have been a problem for Whole Foods. That's one of the things that sort of the shareholders have been agitating about, getting the scheduling under control. I mean, if you go into a Whole Foods, there's a high level of service. Look, that's part of why I think people like it. It's part of the premium experience that you can talk to the butcher and that there's a lot of people around there to help you. But there's no question if you look, talk to the sort of the Wall Street people, the labor costs have been an issue. I mean, Amazon does a great job with automation and those kind of things, but they are saying at this point that they have no plans to fire workers.
Let's take a phone call. Sam in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sam.
Yeah, hi. Jeff Bezos is a greedy man, and he's $5 billion away from being the world's richest man. And Amazon itself is trading at 200 times its current earnings. Shouldn't there be some antitrust laws to break up Amazon right now before it becomes too dangerous for everyone?
Yeah, thank you for that question. Is there any chance of antitrust pushback from the government on this? Those laws weren't written with a company like Amazon in mind, but Spencer, any chance that they would start to look at Amazon as something that has monopoly power? I don't know if that's over food necessarily. It may have it on books right now, but when does Amazon come in the antitrust sites, or doesn't the law include companies like Amazon at all?
Well, you never say never, and it's definitely something that has come up in the past, especially with our new president. President Trump has made remarks about antitrust, but he's usually made them in response to critical articles from the Washington Post, which Jeff Bezos also owns, and his response has been, oh, he's just worried about me coming after them on antitrust issues. So never say never. Whether the concentration is sufficient enough, that would be debatable. And right now, a lot of experts say no, because Amazon, even though it has tremendous sales and tremendous penetration, its sales are over a broad spectrum of products, like you mentioned, you know, books, electronics, apparel, grocery. So it doesn't have there are a lot of other options for people if they don't want to shop on Amazon.
And on the caller's knock on Jeff Bezos as being so greedy, he may be so greedy, but we should at least note that when he bought the Washington Post not that long ago, people were worried for the future of journalism at one of the nation's most important papers, you know, because he might turn it into a very commercialized kind of watered down outlet. But look what role it's taken in the Trump administration.
Yeah, he invests. He will invest toward the future. And so if we just look at previous acquisitions, he will buy a company that he's interested in, operate it for a while and learn, and then make changes accordingly. The one example that we have of him actually shuttering something was Quidsy, which he purchased in 2011. That was a competing e-commerce site that Walmart was also interested in buying at that time. Amazon purchased that in 2011 and just recently shuttered it, laying off some workers, but it took several years. So Amazon has a long-term plan in place, and they manage that plan based on what they see. So wouldn't expect any immediate disruptive changes at Whole Foods.
Martha in Mattawan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Martha.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. I shop Whole Foods occasionally. And for select items, and mostly seafood. And my concern is they provide a provenance for seafood. They tell you if it's sustainably farmed, if it is wild caught. And you can talk to the person behind the counter about that. And my concern would be once Amazon buys Whole Foods and begins to look at the bottom line, are we going to be able to trust that? Where I live along the Jersey Shore, there's no viable fresh seafood store anywhere close to me.
Hmm.
So Whole Foods is my closest outlet for it.
That's a great question. And Martha, hang on a second. She hung up. Ha ha. We had such a related question from Jessica in Bergen County that I guess she thought Martha covered it. But Jessica's question was going to be even broader, that Whole Foods is an important source for her of locally sourced food, not just seafood. So who wants to take that? Is there any way to know whether that's at risk with Amazon buying Whole Foods, or is that such an important part of Whole Foods' brand, quote-unquote, their identity, what they do, that Amazon wouldn't mess with that?
I can take that. The a big part of this acquisition, there's been a lot of talk about the physical footprint that Amazon gets by purchasing Whole Foods. But an important thing that's kind of gotten glossed over is that Amazon desperately needs knowledge in the grocery business. They don't have it. They need it. And so they're going to look for things that are working at Whole Foods. And so if there's a sweet spot for Whole Foods and seafood, I don't know that they're going to rock the boat too much on that. One of the reasons they had to buy Whole Foods is to learn more about its grocery business and its loyal clientele.
Now, I think Carrie in Greenwich Village wants to push back on this assumption that Amazon always competes on price as opposed to, you know, other qualities like Whole Foods does. Carrie, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Oh, thanks very much. I wanted to point out that Amazon is no longer competing on prices most often on books and CDs and shoes. Those are obviously the three things I'm interested in buying mm-hmm. from them, and hasn't for some time. And, you know, anybody who worked there, as I happened to do some time ago, figured out that that was going to happen, because why would they need to after they proved themselves to be, you know, good, a good company to buy from, and also
this is classic monopoly behavior, in my opinion. Spencer, since you cover e-commerce, tell me what you think. And in response to Carrie, if Amazon basically put all the other booksellers out of business, and I realize it's not all, but they kind of basically put the brick-and-mortar bookstore, into the dustbin of history by competing on price so aggressively. Now that they've accomplished that, they don't have to compete on price and offer those deep, deep discounts anymore. Is that how you see the trajectory of Amazon in books?
Well, it can be how you see trajectory on Amazon with all kinds of products, and it's increasingly becoming a pay-to-play environment. If you were to go on Amazon right now and just pick a random product, like Bluetooth headphones, and punch that into the search engine, the most prominent things you're going to see are things that are advertised, not things, you know, products that people have paid Amazon for prominent placement in the search results. It's not going to be necessarily the best priced product. Hmm. So there is some truth to that in terms of what the customer immediately sees. And they're also making a play on the convenience shopper and the prime shopper, people who don't want to spend a ton of time hunting and pecking to save, you know, a buck or two on each particular product.
Right.
Just want to do their shopping, slam it off the list, know they're getting a fair price, maybe not necessarily the best price, but a fair price. They know that they will have it delivered to them quickly, and no hassle. And if there is a problem, that Amazon will make good on it. So yes, there is a validity to them being less competitive on price.
So, Craig, in the labor market, who's most at risk from this purchase? Whole Foods employees, or the employees of other grocery chains, or is this even the right question to ask about workers and this merger?
You know, I think in general, the retail worker is under a lot of stress. I mean, there's been incredible consolidation and bankruptcies in other areas of retail. The grocery industry to this point has kind of been insulated from a lot of the e-commerce pressure. I think something like 1% of groceries have gone online, where it's more like 10-15% in other categories. But there was this sense that, you know, even before this deal was announced, Amazon had big time grocery ambitions, so they were coming for it. You know, now it has become a here and now issue. So I do think you can expect to see, as we move forward, more consolidation in the grocery industry. And, you know, that's certainly going to, I think, create some pressure for workers, because these grocery companies, at least the ones that are public, are under a lot of pressure. I mean, Kroger, the largest supermarket chain in the U.S., you know, they've had two straight quarters of declining same-store sales. Their profit is under pressure. So I think there's a lot of people that are looking at labor costs all across the industry.
So supermarkets might start experiencing more of what malls have experienced. Since the rise of Amazon and other e-commerce, the brick-and-mortar space becomes harder to maintain, or the pressure on them makes them put the pressure on the workers below, and more self-checkout and things like that. But there is, Craig, another, I don't know if you know the big picture on this, but I saw one article recently that said, yeah, fewer people are able to get jobs in retail, but there may be just as many people working now in shipping and warehouse jobs, the kinds of jobs that are necessary, because somebody has to put stuff in packages to mail to you if you buy on e-commerce, and somebody has to program those websites also. That would be other kinds of jobs, you know, with the particulars of a sale at this particular time or whatever else they want to highlight. Does it even out in the end, or not really?
You know, it's hard to say. I mean, I think you're right that there are sort of different jobs, but a lot of that work, too, you know, is automated. We know that Amazon does a great job as far as operating those distribution centers. I mean, I visited sort of a grocery delivery center out in New Jersey where it's incredibly automated, where they have sort of these robotic arms that are packing those orders. So I think that that's the direction things are going in general, is just a shift towards automation that has sort of put pressure on the economy, generally speaking. So exactly how this plays out, I'm obviously not sure. Amazon is saying they're not planning to do job cuts, but this is going to create a lot of pressure in the grocery industry. We do know that, and we know that also these grocers are under pressure, and that labor costs have been an issue for them.
Listener writes on Twitter, to be fair, all internet shopping has ruined our city streets. Locally, bodegas are hurt by online grocery already. Ask them. George on the Upper West Side, you're on WNYC. Hello.
Good morning. The issue that I think everybody is really overlooking is that you have an industry with the notoriously thin margins, and they've had them for a very long time. Now that you have...
Grocery stores, you mean.
Correct. But now that you have larger, more financially stable companies with larger market shares, the part that's going to be hurt is not so much other groceries. Yes, they will be hurt, but there's still going to be some demand there. It's the manufacturers of the groceries that have to be put onto the shelves, because with fewer buyers and with stronger buyers financially, there's less incentive to have them do anything except what the Sears used to call push marketing. And in other words, they would say, well, if you want us to carry your items in our stores, then you're going to have to meet these price numbers. I mean, Walmart has historically done that, and they're extremely efficient at doing it. So it's an area that doesn't seem to be talked about at all, and it's going to have a far more dramatic impact in terms of jobs, in terms of the variety of products and companies offering those products, et cetera. And we haven't the slightest idea what's going to be developing from that. And I would appreciate it if the two experts here could make their comments.
Interesting. Who wants it?
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, the large CPG companies, Campbell, Kellogg, General Mills, Mondelez, Kraft Heinz, they're not doing great, period. You know, there's broad shifts in the way people are eating and the way they're shopping that has put a lot of pressure on, you know, what we call big food, the large packaged food companies. And, you know, they definitely have to be concerned about where this is all headed. Walmart's already been pursuing sort of a clean store strategy. They're putting tremendous pressure on their suppliers to kind of bring costs down. And, you know, again, now you'll have Amazon, who we know is very cutthroat with how they compete. They're going to pressure them too. So I would agree with the caller in that this is also sort of an issue to watch for sure for the big CPG companies in this country.
Listener Gene on Twitter writes, Amazon overlord Bezos, now even our diets will be tracked. Ha. And listener Dave writes, all talk regarding Amazon Whole Foods assumes it's a done deal, but another potential buyer might appear and make a higher offer. Is that right, Craig?
There's a sense, you know, that Bezos was quote-unquote thrifty with the offer, that he came in there and, you know, that maybe it was a little bit low. I'm not sure that anybody wants to get into a bidding war with Amazon. I mean, they have tremendous financial capacity. But there is a sense that that somebody could come in and somebody might just want to compete a little bit on the price just because they don't want Amazon to walk away with this thing. I mean, this is a company, Whole Foods, that has struggled, but there's tremendous value in the brand. And there is a sense just in the investors we're talking to that the price was not necessarily low, but that, you know, Bezos got a good price with where he's at right now.
Elena on Staten Island, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
So glad you took my call. Two items. One is Amazon is so good with the technology that I would love to shop in a virtual Whole Foods. Since I don't live near one, I travel to Manhattan to shop in Whole Foods, and if I could have a virtual reality shopping spree through that store, that would be perfect. The other thing is they are overpriced in some areas, but I find that private butcher meat and fish from fish stores is sometimes more expensive than Whole Foods markets.
Interesting. Thank you very much. Call us again. Another shopper may be a little more concerned. Melanie in Somerset, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Oh, hi there. I just wanted to say from a consumer perspective, I've done a lot of shopping over the years, and I grocery shop sort of as a social experience as well, but I'm not sure how long it would take me to Amazon with my groceries. I personal experience where I saw an Amazon Fresh delivery just sitting there baking in the sun, and I tried to call Amazon. I got through to California. We couldn't figure out whose order it was. So I'm just not really sure. It'll be a while before I would order my fresh groceries from Amazon. Thanks for listening.
Thank you very much. And somebody else writes, just lost that tweet. Let's see. Somebody writes, I'm worried about potential environmental crisis from excess packaging, with every single item being packaged for shipping to home. Spencer, how does Amazon deal with that? I know a lot of people are at least casually upset by that. So many packages for so many things, everything's being shipped, Amazon and e-commerce in general. Does Amazon have a policy to mitigate that in any way?
Yeah, they've done some things like frustration-free packaging around the holidays to try to put a positive spin on that, you know, make it easier to open a gift that's not packaged for the store shelves but is packaged, you know, for direct shipment to your home. But this ties into a good question one of the earlier callers mentioned about the product manufacturers, that Amazon has reached out to them and recognizes that most of the products it sells, it's taking things that are packaged for store shelves, repackaging them again for doorstep delivery, and that there's a lot of waste involved. And they actually had a meeting in Seattle in May where they invited a lot of the big product manufacturers, including things found in the center of the grocery store, and they're trying to convince them to package things differently in a manner that they could simply slap a label on it and ship it to your house. So if you think of things being redesigned in a manner not to stand out from the store shelf, but in a more durable packaging and maybe a more generic packaging, since you've already made your purchase decision to be shipped directly to you, it's definitely something they recognize, and they see it as a potential way to partner with these companies to save some money and do things better for the customer if they get them to think about selling things direct from a factory to a doorstep as opposed to from a factory through a store to the customer.
And a follow-up tweet from the same listener says, maybe Amazon's move into brick-and-mortar stores indicates that the threat is diminishing. I hope, he writes. You think? Is it telling that Amazon couldn't make it in the food business without acquiring something like Whole Foods, that we're seeing the limits of e-commerce through this acquisition?
You know, especially on grocery, a big problem with grocery, and their conversations with Whole Foods go back 3 years when they were even talking about maybe just using them as a partner and doing grocery deliveries through Whole Foods, is Amazon struggled with waste. And so if they're simply selling groceries online, there's a lot of waste. If you go to your typical supermarket, you'll see things marked down, perishables marked down. The bananas are browning. You can get them on sale to make your smoothie or your banana bread. The meat that's about to expire is on sale. And if you're having a barbecue that night, hey, why not? I'll buy it. I'll save a few bucks. Mm. Online, you don't have that option. And so there's a lot of loss mitigation that a physical store offers that you simply don't have online.
Hey, just a quick thought before we run out of time. On the stock market today, the Dow is flirting with a record high this morning. I think it crashed through the record high. I don't know if it came down a little bit since. Would that have anything to do with this? Don't know.
I mean, there was a big time market reaction on Friday. It was mostly sort of other grocers. You know, Kroger was down. We saw Costco and anybody that sort of, I think, was involved in the grocery space. I don't know about the Dow today specifically, but there was definitely a big time market reaction on Friday that was mainly grocery related.
Well, thank you very much, Craig Gimona, food reporter for Bloomberg Business, and Spencer Soper, who covers e-commerce for Bloomberg. Really informative. Thank you both. Really, really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.